Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of GPT Infraprojects Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Tantia, Executive Director and CFO, GPT Infraprojects Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good morning, everyone, and welcome, and a warm welcome to GPT Infraprojects Limited Q4 and full year ended March 31, 2022 earnings conference call. The result presentation, along with our press release, has already been uploaded on our website and that of the stock exchanges as well. We hope that you have had a chance to go through the same over the weekend. Today on the call, we also have with us Stellar IR, our investor relations advisors. At the outset, we are extremely happy to announce that the fourth quarter of fiscal 2022 has been one of the strongest quarters in the history of the company on back of strong execution, healthy cash flow due to realization from old receivables from customers, leading to improvement in return ratios. We have always rewarded our shareholders on the back of strong performance, and the board of directors have recommended to the shareholders a final dividend of ₹1.5 per share, which, taken along with the interim dividend announced in February of this year, works out to ₹3 per share for the full year 2022, which is one of the highest ever dividend that we have declared. Now coming to our financial performance during the full year ended FY 2022, our revenue from operations came in at 669 crores as against 573 crores for the previous year, which is a growth of almost 17% year on year. This was backed by a significant execution in the infrastructure segment. The standalone EBITDA for the full year stood at ₹88 crores as against 85 crores in FY21. The EBITDA margin remained stable at 13.2% despite the headwinds in raw material prices, and the EBITDA has been north of the 13% hurdle rate that we have set historically for ourselves. For the past year, the company has not only focused on operations, but has also ensured that its cash management improves, and as a result, we are happy to report a much stronger 20.2% year-on-year growth in the PAT at 24.7 crores in FY22 as against 20.6 crores in FY21. Some of the key steps that have helped profitability were as follows. We have been optimizing our working capital, and in addition to pairing old customers with old outstanding with various customers, we have been able to liquidate some of these old outstandings, and trade receivables have come down by almost 20 odd crores. Most of the old receivables which were previously qualified by the auditors have been realized, and a small part has also been written off, leading to an unqualified audit report by the auditors. One of the key highlights for the year has been a strong improvement in the cash flow from operations of ₹72.3 crores, that is almost more than 80% of the EBITDA for the year, driven by reduction in trade receivables and realization of old outstandings. This is also translated into reduction in borrowing by almost 10 crores for the year. As a result of the strong, as a result of this, our improving balance sheet leverage and generally strong outlook for the company, credit rating for the company has been recently upgraded to BBB+ by CRISIL, which was informed to the stock exchanges in April of this year. Coming to the segmental performance, our infrastructure segment displayed strong execution prowess for the full year 2022. During FY 2022, the infrastructure segment witnessed a growth of 19.4% year-on-year to ₹573 crores. In the Q4 FY22, the segment saw a growth of almost 29% year-on-year to ₹273 crores, which was backed by a strong pickup in execution activities. The segment continues to be a major part of the business, contributing almost 85% of the entire revenues in FY22 and 95% of the EBIT for the year. The order book for the segment stood at ₹15.9 crores. Now coming to the sleeper segment, the revenues for this segment came in at ₹28 crores for Q4 FY22 and ₹101 crores for the full year FY22. The muted performance of this segment can be attributed to the COVID-related disruptions in the South African business, which has also resulted in impact on the margins as well. With normalcy returning in the next couple of months, we expect the business to ramp up to the levels of the previous year in the coming quarters. The order book in this segment stood at Rs. 135 crores. In this segment, the company has also announced formation of a subsidiary in the Republic of Ghana to set up a concrete steel plant in that country. In fiscal FY22, we have bagged orders of Rs. 531 crores, including incremental orders from the existing contracts. And as at March 31st, 2022, we have a healthy order book of Rs. 1684 crores, forming approximately 2.5 times our FY22 trailing 12 months revenues, and which provides a good growth visibility for the company. Our current unexecuted order pipeline is at Rs. 1684 crores, and we believe that the government's impetus on railways will enhance our eligibility capabilities and lead to companies further growth with a good trajectory. Now let me share with you some key highlights and key contracts for the current fiscal. We are executing two major contracts for RVNL, which is a contract in Ghazipur and for Mathura Jhansi Third Line for RVNL. These contracts, once completed, will take us to the next level of growth and will enable us to bid for contracts up to 1,000 crores from the current size of the 700-odd crores. The execution of Ghazipur order is running smoothly, and we expect the same to be completed by 2023. Similarly, Mathura Jhansi is also running very smoothly, and we expect the same to be completed in the next calendar year. Both these contracts are running at an average quarterly run rate of almost 30 to 40 crores. In fact, from the Ghazipur contract, we achieved revenue last year of almost 125 crores, and from the Mathura Jhansi contract, a revenue last year of almost 90 crores. Like I said, the recently received contract for ROB and Baikal railway station was received in December. However, operation for the same has already started, and given our past experience in constructing similar cable stay bridge in Burdwan, we expect the work to start soon. In the concrete sleeper segment, the GMR contract continues to progress well, and we expect the contract to complete over the next 6 months, and the receivables will also contribute to reduction in the working capital cycle. With the budget having a strong focus on public capital expenditure, especially towards our sector of operation, and normalcy returning, we are confident enough to scale up our business going forward. We are continuously exploring new opportunities and expect to get projects, keeping in mind the management disciplines of healthy margins in the range of 13 to 14%. Now, before we move on to Q&A, let me take you through some key highlights for the sector. The CapEx for FY 2023 has been increased by 35% to 7.5 lakh crores, which is 2 times FY 2020 budget, and it will account for 3% of India's GDP. For railways, the budget is allocated 1,40,000 crores, which is the highest ever budgetary allocation for the rail sector. In the next 3 years, the Government of India is planning to launch 400-plus Vande Bharat trains in India and around 2,000 kilometers of network, which will be brought under the coverage program. Safety, of course, is one of the major focus areas for the railways. The railways is planning to construct new railway lines around 300 kilometers and doubling of 1,700 kilometers of railway lines. In terms of statewide allocation for the Indian Railways, 12,110 crores has been allocated to Madhya Pradesh, where ongoing projects include 35 new lines, gauge conversion, doubling projects covering 6,104 kilometers and costing 81,000 odd crores. Rs. 11,903 has been allocated to the state of Maharashtra, where ongoing projects include 35 new lines, gauge conversion, doubling projects covering 6,142 kilometers and costing 91,000 odd crores. These 10,262 crores have been allocated to the state of West Bengal, where ongoing projects include 53 new lines, gauge conversion, doubling projects covering 4,400 odd kilometers and costing 55,000 crores. Similarly, Rs. 9,700 crores has been allocated to the state of Odisha, where ongoing projects include 37 new lines, gauge conversion, doubling projects covering 4,600 odd kilometers, amounting to 55,000 crores. With this, I will ask the moderator to open the floor to any question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Nagarajan from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. First question is on the this is a very critical year for the two projects, the big projects, RVNL projects that we are concluding. I think both projects put together should probably contribute 150 odd crore to 200 odd crore to the revenue. Once that is done, you have addressed some big projects coming up in the pipeline too. But if you could help us in terms of, what is the near-term prospects of orders that you could win? Because last year, I understand that we had a dip in terms of order inflow in comparison to what we did in FY21. Is there any thought given on what should be the order intake in this year? How is that execution going to see in FY23 as well as in 24?
Sure. So our order book, like I said in my opening remarks, is at 1684 crores. The two contracts that you mentioned, Ghazipur and Mathura Jhansi, contributed in FY22 at 200 odd crores, 210 odd crores to be precise, in terms of their contribution to the revenue of 670 odd crores. The unexecuted portion for those two contracts are part of the 1684 crores. Obviously, last year there was a dip in terms of new order inflows, from 932 crores in FY21 to 531 crores in FY22, a 400 crore dip. We expect to have a better strike rate in FY23 because FY22, due to COVID, the central government had relaxed the earnest money criteria for most of the tenders and bids, and they have withdrawn the earnest money criteria, which led to an unhealthy bidding discipline. However, as we as a management have been always saying this and are very conscious of the hurdle rate of EBITDA that we bid for in terms of our contracts. And that is why we were happy to not get contracts which were below our hurdle rate in terms of the EBITDA level. With this restriction now being, with this easement of restriction now being removed from 1st January of this year, we are seeing a lot of the new tenders having lesser, in some sense, competition. So we expect the tendering pipeline to be much better this year. In terms of target to get new orders, obviously we expect to maintain the 2.5 times FY23 revenues when we close FY23. That has always been historically what we do target at. So, I think that FY23, we should close with an order book of close to 2,200 odd crores. So it's okay. So I think that we are targeting a new order intro of almost 1,000 to 1,200 crores this year.
Oh, great, great. That's great.
We are bidding for single orders of almost 300, 400 crores. As we speak of, in May, we are bidding for large orders as well. So let us see how that converts.
Yeah, once this two critical projects is completed, you will be pre-qualified to do the bigger ticket projects, right?
We will be qualified to do even 1,000 crore bridges, but now we are in joint venture with someone, we are actually bidding for a 1,000 crore bridge, almost 950 crore bridge. So we are bidding for larger ticket projects as well.
Okay. The second question is on the margins part. I understand there is across the industry, there is this hardening of input prices, which is denting into the margins. We could see that in Q4 FY22 of your results as well. Can you give us some color on how this will shape up in the future quarters to come by? And are we building in this kind of, insulation mechanisms in the new order inflow?
Sure. So all of our contracts, whether it is in the infrastructure segment or whether in the sleeper segment, have a price variation formula. Having said that, some of these indices, how they do move, I'm sure that you are aware, have some drag or lag in terms of when the indices actually translate into the actual numbers that are in the market on the street. So that is why the margins are reflecting where it is, because you are accruing as for the RBI indices, the WPI or the labor indices or whatever it is. Every contract has their own indices that is linked with it. So I think that in terms of contingency or building in terms of our new bidding discipline, we are definitely conscious of the fact that due to this, the working capital cycle has got stretched because the input prices have gone up. We are obviously factoring that in when we are bidding, and our bidding discipline has been quite strong. And if you see, never in the last 10 years, our EBITDA has dipped below 13%.
Sure.
Even in this year, for the full year, our EBITDA is north of 13%.
Okay. Sure, I appreciate that part. And finally, if I may ask you one more question, to do with the South Africa business as such, help us understand what those numbers would look like, especially on their share of associate profit, that number, sustainable number that could possibly be seen in FY23.
South Africa does not come as share of associate profit. South Africa is a subsidiary. I mean, what you're referring to is Namibia.
Okay.
Namibia comes as share of associate profit. So Namibia has done the highest ever revenue in the history of that associate of almost 94 million rands, which translates to almost 50 crore rupees. This financial year also we expect a similar performance from that associate.
Okay,
that has done superbly well. We have given dividends to the parent and to the other shareholders as well, and they have been able to keep a check on the cost and perform, have a good EBITDA as well as profit margins as well.
Okay. So if I understand, they're doing concrete sleeper business, and that this number, this is 5 crore contribution to the this line item, is sustainable and secular in nature. Is that my reading right?
5 crore is actually net off the loss in South Africa. I think 5 crore is a sustainable number, honestly. The sustainable number is about 3 odd crores.
Okay.
If you're talking about sustainable number, that's 3 crores.
Okay, great. That's it.
But having said that, if it was 3 crores, then obviously the results above it include a loss for the operations in South Africa due to the COVID-related shutdown in South Africa. If I were to do only 3 crores from that associate in Namibia, then my number above it would be much higher.
Great. That's it from my side. Should there be any other questions, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So my first question is on the revenue guidance for the FY23 and the EBITDA margin. I joined the call late, so sorry if I'm repeating that. Yeah.
So in terms of revenue guidance, we expect a revenue growth of almost 15-20% CAGR over the next 3 years, and EBITDA margin would be, we have always maintained our EBITDA hurdle rate of 13%, so it will be north of 13% in terms of EBITDA.
So you think that this EBITDA margin for this quarter was a blip and will get back to 13%?
Heard the previous call, person who asked the question as well from Antique, Mr. Rohit. I think that across the industry this quarter, due to the commodity prices, there has been a dip in the margins because there is a the RBI indices do not immediately translate in terms of the actual prices. There might be a 1 month or 2 month drag on the indices when they are published. So that is why the margins for the quarter have been slightly dipped. But overall for the year, we are north of 13% anyway.
So how much is cost inflation you have seen for your for the orders you are executing in percentage terms?
Depends on when they were. So means if I were to compare, so if they were the orders were back 3 years ago, then maybe today it would be a 25% to 30% in terms of where the base price is.
Mm-hmm. And sir, coming on the order inflow, I think we're targeting 200 crore order inflow for FY23. Is this primarily from railway, or is there something we are looking from the other sectors? If I remember correctly, I think you're targeting other sectors.
So we are doing railways, we are also doing MORTH contracts, but primarily bridges, I would say. Not primarily railways, but bridges, whether it is MORTH, railways, NHAI, and other PSUs of the central government, especially.
As I mentioned about that the bidding parameters in the guarantees and other things are going back to the original level. Is it true for across all these segments, or is it you are talking mainly about the railways? And have you seen the competition going back to the earlier of back to the earlier level, or you still think the competition is slightly higher compared to, let's say,
I think that now the competition will ease out, because earlier without the bidding, the earnest money deposits, there were a lot of competition. You were seeing some tenders having even 30 odd bids, which is quite unhealthy. But now I think it will be back to the 6-7 bids that is normally there.
And when you say railways, do you mean only Ministry of Railways, or do you mean all the RVNL, IRCON orders, everything put together?
We do across the PSUs as well, including RVNL, IRCON rights. Other branches of railways, not just the Ministry of Railways.
Okay. Lastly, sir, how are you trying to build some more capabilities so that you enhance your EPC offering for, you know, in medium term?
We have done recently a joint venture with a French company to rehabilitate a bridge over Hooghly in Calcutta, second Hooghly bridge. So we are exploring new offerings to rehabilitate bridges, which are quite old. That is a 160 crore contract for us. We are also doing some other industrial works, water pumping stations, and the likes, which will improve our EPC offerings as well.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vinita Pandya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to know, the presentation mentions about debt reduction and a reduction in working capital days. So is there going to be any further improvement in this, and what would be the target for the same?
So last year, we have done a debt reduction of 10 crores. And
okay.
That is FY22.
Mm-hmm.
And this year the target is reduced debt by almost 15 odd crores.
Okay. That's it from my end. Thank you and congratulations. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. So your press release talks about setting up a subsidiary in Ghana. So can you please elaborate on what is this for, and give some more details about this?
Sure. So along the lines of South Africa and Namibia, the company is exploring to set up a concrete sleeper plant in Ghana. And that is why the press release mentions that the board has approved a formation of a subsidiary in Ghana to set up a concrete steel plant. We are on the verge of finalizing a contract in Ghana. Once that is finalized, then we will obviously inform the stock exchanges and the public at large in terms of once the subsidiary is able to get the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that would entail setting up for concrete plant in Ghana on the similar lines that we have done in South Africa and Namibia.
Okay, thank you. So another question is that you witnessed highest ever kind of run rate in the infrastructure segment. So can we assume this run rate to continue in the coming quarters as well?
Fourth quarter of every financial year had some better run rate given the government's focus on capital outlay, capital expenditure as well. So the run rate of fourth quarter cannot be assumed to be carried forward in Q1, Q2, and Q3. Having said that, like I said to one of the previous questions, in terms of guidance, I think that we expect a 15%-20% CAGR in terms of growth, and that is something that we would expect across to be quite across all the four quarters rather than just being bundled up in the last quarter as such.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kalpesh Parekh from JSM Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, sir. Good congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, I have a couple of questions. One, mainly on the business model, particularly on the infra side. Are we working something on this bullet train project or something like that as well, apart from the Bharatmala and PMGSY schemes?
We're not having any contract for the bullet train. That's in primarily L&T has most of those contracts. We are doing our contracts for DSCC, we are doing metro contracts, but not on the bullet train.
Okay. But is there any opportunity for us to do something on the...
We have bid for one or two contracts, we have not been successful, but we have bid for one or two bridges contracts, we have not been successful.
Okay. And on the sleeper segment side, sir, is it very, very competitive among the peers as such? Is there any opportunity for us to improve upon the margins in that space?
So sleepers, actually, honestly, how the margin is getting reported and how that's is that at a big level the margin is lower, but sleeper segment due to the contracts in GMR, they carry a much higher depreciation because we generally like to depreciate the contract civil works and the plant and building over the life of that particular contract. So that is why since the GMR contract is coming to a close in the next 6 to 8 months, that is carrying a higher depreciation. So the number that is reported in terms of margin is a bit, so depreciation is getting charged quite a lot on the sleeper contract.
Okay.
At the EBITDA level, the sleeper is also having a margin of almost 13.5%.
Oh, and all this lockdown in South Africa, which had impacted us, you know, in FY22, all that thing is behind now. Probably situation has started unfolding for us in that
situation. In terms of lockdown, it has eased out, but we are working with the South African Railways, which is Transnet Freight Rail. They have had their own issues. Many of their employees have unfortunately passed away in COVID, so there's some change in the leadership there. So that is why they are taking some time in terms of releasing of the orders. We expect them to also get streamlined in the next couple of months, and then the operations will resume.
Okay. And sir, what is the capex requirement for us for next couple of years?
Capex requirements. So other than this Ghana, which I was answering to in an earlier question, would be in the range of 20 to 25 crores.
Okay. So that would be funded internally, right? I mean, we don't need any money it would be working capital funding only.
We do take some equipment finance, but that is a very small portion. I think total equipment finance as on 31st March is about 8 to 9 crores, not a very significant amount.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, sir. Wish you all the best. Heartiest congratulations once again. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Sadanand Shetty from True Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. We have noticed in this particular month there was a huge volumes in the public market got traded, substantially had volumes. Any new strategic partners have come in that you are aware of it?
No, there is no strategic partner that has come in. The volume increase or decrease is how the market operates.
Can you speak a little louder, Ratul?
Pardon?
Yeah, I can't hear you. Can you be a little louder?
I'm saying that there is no strategic partner that is coming into the business. The promoters continue to hold 75% shareholding. And if the trading volumes increase or decrease, depends on the market, how they see the sector and the company as such.
No, not at all. This is a pretty unusual and very high, almost at as it has almost 2-3% of the paid-up equity capital a few days. If not strategy, getting large investors, that's something you are aware of it?
But there are no large investors that has come in. It's a well-diversified holding. That's, there's no large investor that is there.
Okay. That is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Tantia for closing comments.
Thank you, Margaret, once again. So, thank you everyone for participating in our Q4 FY22 earnings conference call and for the full year ended 31st March 2022. In case you have any further questions, you may get in touch with our IR team, Stellar Relations, or feel free to get in touch with us directly. I hope you all are staying safe, and thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of GPT Infra Projects Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.